The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 30th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on another chilly, kind of just overcast day here in the Auburn Opelika area, and tons to get to on the show this afternoon. We've got football, college, and NFL. We've got basketball. We've got guests. You name it. We've got it. A jam-packed show for you on this Thursday afternoon. How's it going, Christian? How are you on this Thursday?
Yeah, happy Thursday. Doing pretty well, man. Continuing to feel more and more like true fall here in Auburn, finally. And then we'll feel it a little bit, or at least I will. You will not feel it tomorrow evening.
No, I will not. You will not catch me at a football field tomorrow.
As Auburn High, on their bye week before the playoffs, Lee Scott Academy has one more regular season game, a non-region game, before the playoffs get started. Do all 7A schools use this as their bye week?
Not all of them, but a lot of them have started doing it.
Okay, yeah. Rather than having just the mid-season bye, mm-hmm. It's okay, go ahead and play your 10
just
games.
Play them
and
all. Then, yeah.
Especially if you have playoff expectations.
Mm-hmm. You use that as a buffer week, a get-right week. Now,
sure.
If you miss the playoffs, then you just start the offseason a week early, I guess.
So win-win, right? It's either
guess.
A buffer week or
yeah.
It's just you get to go and start celebrating a little bit earlier. But no, happy Thursday. I guess we have all three levels. We got high school, get a little bit of college talk in there as well, and something that we've been really, really good at all season long is starting the Thursday shows with NFL talk. We're like 2 for 8 now, it feels like. But we're going to have a little bit of NFL talk in here to start the show here this afternoon. Before we get back into college football, CBS released an article about the coaching hot seats and almost like a tier list, 0 being completely comfortable, 5 being you better win or else you're no longer going to have a job. They listed all 100-plus, 128-plus FBS teams that are have a head coach. And where does their coach list? They have decimals. You see coaches that started with a 1.67 and now we're at a 3.4 and a wild little calculator system. And so we're going to go over that. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the coaches in the SEC. Where does Hugh Freeze and other coaches stand in that poll before we get to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network and a little bit of World Series talk again as the Blue Jays, according to Magic Johnson, take that game that was really, really important for
decisive.
One of these teams to win.
Decisive game 5. And now the Blue Jays have a commanding 3-2 lead. I did see a stat, and not to drop this too early, but I will anyway. I saw a stat, I think MLB put it out, where for the first time in the history of the league, the season will start and end outside of the United States of America. The season opener was in Japan, if you remember, and then now game 6 and 7 are going to be in Toronto. So for the first time ever, the Major League Baseball season will start and end outside of the United States, which I think is kind of cool. I mean, that's talk about a unique stat. We've had some. There was another one last night in that game, which we'll talk about coming up in just a little bit. So, yes, a lot to get to on the show today. Two guests instead of three. No Coach Keith Etheridge this week for Auburn High football since they are on a bye. We're giving him a little bit of time off and always appreciate him hopping on with us. But we'll pick back up next week to talk about postseason play for the Auburn High Tigers. But outside of those two guests, phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. We're getting into the weekend. We're one day closer. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. If you want to call in, talk about the NFL, talk about college football, college basketball, Auburn versus Kentucky this weekend, whatever's on your mind, we want to hear from you. So you can give us a call, or you can always shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And want to make a cool announcement before we get into today's show about tomorrow, where before Auburn and Kentucky, if you need to pick up a last-minute shirt, maybe a last-minute beanie or a sweatshirt or something, going to be chilly Saturday night at Jordan-Hare.
Or a Speedo. I mean,
if that's your thing, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, if you want to buy, you know, some pajama pants to lounge around the house in and wear those as well.
Mia hoodie.
I will not turn down the Tiger Eyes t-shirt that I've seen since this place opened a couple of months ago. We're going to be at Rally House tomorrow over in Tigertown, ESPN 106.7. We're going to be live on location. That's tomorrow, Friday, October 31st, ESPN 106.7. We'll be live on location at Rally House in Tigertown, both on the line and the drive, live from 2 to 6 p.m., previewing Auburn football's matchup versus Kentucky with our friends at Rally House. Rally House is teaming up with Logo Brands to show off all of their amazing Auburn Tigers gear. We're also going to be giving away $50 gift cards to lucky fans in store, so be sure you come on out and check us out. Come rally with us this Friday as ESPN 106.7 will be broadcasting live on location at Rally House in Tigertown. So come check it out. Come say hello. If you're going to be on that side of town, we'd love to see you. Again, we're giving away some gift cards. You got to be in store to win those, but we're looking forward to that as we get out on location tomorrow.
Jacob's going to show up in his Halloween costume. It's going to be a great event, so you definitely definitely do not want to miss. I'm not going to give spoilers about what he's going to be.
I'm going to dress up as a sports radio guy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm going to have the headset on and everything.
That's pretty nice.
Headset, microphone. I'm going to have the equipment.
Sure.
I will be very convincing that I'm a sports radio broadcaster tomorrow. Not a Halloween guy. It's just, I don't know. It's not, I used to be, especially in college too. I was always a big, you know, college Halloween party type of guy, but.
You were just a throw a bed sheet over your head, cut two eyes out, didn't even say trick or treat, just knocked on the door and held out your bag.
No, unfortunately, I spent quite a bit of money because Halloween costumes are expensive in case anybody hasn't bought one lately. Thankfully, we don't have kids, so we don't have to worry about buying those, but.
That you know of.
That, yeah, okay. All right. We'll move on from that. 334-321-1390. We'll start today's show by getting to the phone lines. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Well, Spectre.
What's going on, Spectre? How are you on this Thursday?
Well, I'm all right, but listen, you are forbidden to use the word or any form of the word close.
Close?
Yes.
I assume I know your reasoning there.
I'm tired of hearing how close we are.
We're close to Halloween, Spectre.
Oh, man. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. And I think a lot of Auburn fans share your frustrations, right? And look, I can tell you one thing. If Auburn finds a way to not win on Saturday, that excuse will not fly of, well, we're really close against a solid team. I promise you that explanation will not fly Saturday night at Jordan-Hare.
Well, it's for not really. Have you seen next year's schedule?
Oh, it's miserable. And we don't even know how it exactly stacks up, but just the road games themselves and the lack of good home games for Auburn is brutal.
Do you think this coach can get us anywhere near halfway through that schedule?
I think that has to be a conversation, Spectre. I really do. And I think that's why you're seeing Penn State, LSU, Florida. That's why they've made the change. They've looked at next year's schedule. They've looked at recruiting classes. They've looked at roster turnover. And they've asked themselves the question, is this coach the one to get us through it? Their answer was no, and I think Auburn has to have that conversation.
Well, I've been listening to all the pundits out there, and John Summerall is the guy to get. And I'm afraid we're going to mess around, and someone else is going to pick him up, and we're going to be scratching our heads and wondering what we're going to do next.
Yeah, he's been a very popular name. And look, there were a lot of Auburn fans, Spector, that were talking about John Summerall this offseason and coming into this year. Problem is, the likes of Florida and LSU have picked up on the John Summerall stuff. And last I heard, LSU was going after him.
Summerall is plus 150 to take the LSU job. So,
well, you know, I hate to be so down, but I ain't got any choice. You know, 2023, that schedule is identical to the one we're playing right now, except for a few teams have swapped out, like Arkansas and I can't remember who it was back in 23. But anyway, we're doing the same thing. 1-3, lost 4. Now we're 1-1. And like in 23, we'll win two more, and that's it. And we'll be losing season again. So
I hope not.
Well, I hope not either, but it's – Even if he wins out, he ain't gonna win out in Alabama. I'll tell you that right now. Even if he wins the next three, for what?
Yeah.
What are we looking at? What is our future? I mean, give me something to look forward to. Actually, I want something to look forward to, and I keep seeing that schedule next year in my mind. Oh my goodness, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's back to a traditional tough Auburn football schedule, Spector. We appreciate the call, my man. Always good to hear from you on the show, a very loyal listener to the program. 334-321-1390. He's referenced the 2023 schedule a couple of times, and the way that Auburn trended up and down that season, it really is fascinating to look how similar that is. Right, Auburn starts 3-0 with a win over another P4 team on the road. Now, it wasn't as pretty,
no.
But you go to California and get a win in Berkeley, right at about 2:30 in the morning. You beat UMass, California, and Samford. All right, you're 3-0, win over a P4 team on the road, everything's fine. You go on the road to Texas A&M, and you lose 27-10 in a very winnable game. You host Georgia, the number one team in the country, and you had them on the ropes, and you let it slip at home, 27-20. In a very winnable game. That was a Brock Bowers game, wasn't it?
It was.
Then you go down to Baton Rouge to LSU. Off a bye week, by the way. Off a bye week, you go to LSU in 2023. After starting 3-0, you're then 3-2. A chance to make up for it. A chance to do something against what was an okay LSU team at the time. Believe they were a top 25 team, but not by much. And you get waxed. You get embarrassed in this game to the point where it was probably better if you just didn't get off the bus. 48-18 was the score in that game.
Enter the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yes. That's where they launched themselves into being a competitor.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels went 20 of 27, 325, and 3 touchdowns through the air.
And just torched Auburn in that game. You then have to bounce back, come back home, you host Ole Miss. That didn't go well. You lost that one by a touchdown, 28-21. That's a four-game losing streak to start SEC play, which is what you've done this year as well. You turned around, and you beat Mississippi State, 27-13. You then go to Nashville to take on Vanderbilt, who is not the Vanderbilt of now, and you get that win, 31-15. You beat Arkansas. Just put it on Arkansas. In November, 48-10.
That was the Peyton Thorne run over the defender at the goal line and look him down, and Auburn used that everywhere.
Yeah, oh, they used it. Oh, they definitely used it. That's when Auburn was up 21-3 in the first quarter and never looked back. Right? So Auburn in that season, in 2023, the one that Spector referenced, you start 3-0, you lose 4 straight, you turn right back around and win 3 in a row. Auburn has a chance to do that this season. Right? You just beat Arkansas. You have a chance to beat Kentucky Saturday, and it's going to take a big win on the road at Vanderbilt to do it. But then, in 2023, when you went on a 3-game winning streak, and it was like, all right, well, you're 7-4, You're not great, but you're building. Maybe this has changed. Maybe the program's going in the right direction here. That's when you let New Mexico State come to Jordan-Hare and not just beat you, they put it on you. With a very familiar name at quarterback.
Yeah, you talked about the Vanderbilt team looked a little bit different than the one that you beat 31-15. That's the reason why.
That's the reason why. Mr. Diego Pavia strikes for the first time. Foreshadowing is a crazy thing, right? Then you come home for the Iron Bowl, where you had every chance to win it again, and you let them beat you 27-24.
You were 6-4 going into that New Mexico State game. Not 7-4.
Yeah, 6-4. You're right. But still, 6-4
right.
With a three-game win streak and a lot of momentum. The assumption was you were going to be 7-4 going into the Iron Bowl. And it's like, wow, here we go. Year one, a chance to be 8-4 with a win over Alabama at home. What a magical first season that could have been. What a, not perfect, but
one of those storybook starts.
Yeah, a good start to a tenure for Hugh Freeze at Auburn. You blow it against Alabama, and then you just don't care about the Maryland Bowl game. That's how that year ended up going 6-7, because you won 3 in a row, you lost 4 in a row, you won 3 in a row, and then you lost 3 in a row. Talk about a wave of a season. That's like going through the ocean, man, on a little raft. That's just up and down, up and down, up and down. And you compare that to the 2025 season that Auburn's currently going through, and there's a lot of similarities there. And right now is that point, Christian, that Auburn can either rip off some wins and build momentum down the stretch, or they can go right back to losing games, and we're right back where we started.
It's crazy how things come and go, but how much things stay the same, especially when you don't need them to.
And then, as Spectre has said, and tons of people have said, and it absolutely plays a factor moving forward.
The 5 road games next year?
It's the 2026 schedule.
Sorry,
where you,
the 6 road games now?
No, no. That's not a road game. That's a home game. Auburn's hosting that game, Christian. Come on now. You forgot about that.
Sorry, that's, yeah.
You bad. Forgot. Auburn goes in no particular order on the road next season to Alabama, to Georgia, to Mississippi State, to Ole Miss, and to Tennessee.
And to Atlanta.
And to Atlanta. Yeah. Your home games next year, Southern Miss, Jacksonville State, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, and Vanderbilt.
And in Atlanta.
Yeah. And it's like, that schedule is horrible.
Yeah, welcome to the 9-game slate.
To where Auburn, as I said, Auburn's right back to the schedules of the early 2000s, the 2010s, and beyond. Our entire lifetime, we've talked about Auburn football schedules being tough. You wanted LSU back on the schedule, you got it. You wanted Ole Miss back on the schedule, you got it. Vanderbilt's still on that schedule, good luck there. And don't worry, you still get to make trips to Athens and Tuscaloosa.
And Knoxville.
And Knoxville, just for, you know.
But Tennessee's, you know, they're still down, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, look at the different states of these programs where Alabama's going to be coming off a college football playoff berth. Georgia's going to be coming off a college football playoff berth. Ole Miss is going to be coming off a college football playoff berth. Tennessee's going to be on the outside looking in.
Vanderbilt and Tennessee both still want says this year.
Mississippi State, I know they're not good, but they at least have shown life this year, and I think Jeff Lebby's a hell of a coach. Florida's going to have a new coach, LSU's going to have a new coach, and Arkansas's going to have a new coach. So if there is a bright spot to the schedule next year, it's the fact that you're playing at least 3 teams with brand new head coaches. I said at least, because there could be some movement there, right? Lane Kiffin could dip. Clark Lee could dip. I've seen stuff about Dave Aranda in Baylor, which if anybody hires him, you deserve what you get, I think. I think Baylor's as bad as high as he needs to go, clearly. But I don't know, man. Just looking at the logos and how those games stack up, next year's going to be tough.
You're looking at this Mississippi State team, and though as we get to break, the team is 4-4 with an overtime loss to Tennessee, a 23-21 loss in the Swamp at Florida, where you just mishandled everything, and then a 45-38 loss in OT against Texas. You know how easy this team could be 7-1.
Am I crazy to say, if there are any Mississippi State fans listening right now, I know the chances are slim, but please call in or text us and tell us how you feel. But am I crazy to say that if we were to take a poll of 100 Mississippi State fans and 100 Auburn fans, that the fans in Starkville would tell us they're feeling better than Auburn fans are?
Despite the records being the exact same?
The records being the exact same. And year one under Jeff Lebby, year three under Hugh Freeze.
And with Mississippi State losing 4 in a row.
But yet, they felt like they had a chance. And it wasn't necessarily... The Florida game was brutal. The Florida game, that was tough to watch. But the
was Texas.
Texas was brutal too, but... Yeah, you still found a way to lose, I guess, but you weren't supposed to win those games. You weren't supposed to even be in those games. That's the difference, right? For Mississippi State, they weren't supposed to be in those games. Auburn was supposed to win most of the games that they've lost. That's the difference. And so, yeah, Mississippi State fans probably feel pretty good at 4-4. They're bummed because they could be, 6 or 7 wins, but then you've got Auburn, who's 4-4. And yet, this is year three compared to year one at Stark Vegas.
When the mindset was, have a conversation when November starts.
Oh, we're having a conversation. It's just not the one we thought it was going to be. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number. You can give us a call right now.
So, Ravens and Dolphins. A lot of NFL talk
yeah.
starts.
Yeah. Thanks, Spectre, for getting us off our show rundown today. No, we're kidding. We appreciate it. Great conversation there. We will hint on the NFL because this might be historically one of the worst NFL Thursday night games I've ever seen in my entire life. Don't worry, though. The MVP's back. Lamar Jackson plays tonight. And I'll tell you why the Green Bay Packers are the best team in the NFL. We'll talk about that just for a moment before Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. That's coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Let's get back to the phone lines here on today's show, 334-321-1390. What's going on, Lonnie, all the way down there in Lochapoca? What's on your mind today, brother?
Well, just kind of wanted to talk about the game this weekend.
Sure.
Is that line still 10.5?
It was the last time I looked, which was this morning. We'll get an updated line for you as we're talking to you, but that's what it was the last time I looked at it.
I mean, I'm thinking Auburn rolls this weekend, honestly.
It's jumped a point, 11.5 now, Lonnie.
I got Auburn like 31-13 this weekend.
Any particular reason or just kind of a feel?
I think Kentucky is that bad, and I think we'll be able to run the ball down their throat, and our defense is going to do what they do.
Yeah.
I think Kentucky on the road is going to – they're a horrible team in general, but on the road it's going to be tough for them to do anything, in my opinion. But, I thought more about the coaching situation too. And, outside of some catastrophe, which, to me it already kind of is, but I don't see them making a change. I really don't. I think even if you go 6-6 – as long as you don't get blown out by Bama, I think they retain Freeze, and I think they'll chalk it up and make it look like, okay, well, it really was an 8-4 season because of the officials.
Throw that little asterisk on there of if things had gone our way, we'd be right where we want to be.
But I don't know, man. Like I've said a million times, we're in a bad spot here. Like, mm-hmm. We really are.
Well, it seems like there's no one right answer, right? Because even, whether you think it's to move on or to keep him or to move things around or what, there is no one right answer, and you're not going to please everybody, right, Lonnie? And so that, it is a tough spot to be in.
The main thing I'm worried about is, if we gut the program and completely go get a brand new coach, somebody like a John Summerall, you know, next season could be absolutely brutal given our schedule. I mean, you could be staring 3-9 right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've kind of gone back to the if you're going to let Freeze go, and I have heard rumblings of him maybe working out a deal and resigning for quote-unquote health reasons. At that point, I think to hold the team together, Durkin is probably your best choice, and I've said that because I'm really worried about losing players. I mean, that's because I'm of the opinion that we're going to lose players either way, right? I mean, I think there's going to be some transfers in the offseason, probably some big ones on offense, even if Freeze is retained.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a possibility. No, I mean, it, and that's just the era we're in. That's inevitable at this point.
Well, you don't want to see Cam Coleman over at somewhere like Georgia. I can assure you of that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've said Scarlet and Gray, Lonnie, is what we've talked about. Hey, man, we're up against a break. We appreciate you calling in.
War Eagle, guys.
Thanks, Lonnie. Always appreciate you calling in and being a part of the show.
Talk about running the football. Kentucky ranks 50th in the country, averaging 131.9 yards per game, 3.5 yards per rush. If Auburn is unable to get to that line, that's when you have big-time concerns.
And he talked about Kentucky on the road. They've been outscored 70-27 in their two road games so far this season. That was at South Carolina and at Georgia.
And we'll talk a little bit more about it later. The other flip side about that is now with Cutter Bowley, they love putting the ball in the air, and Auburn is a bottom 100 defense in yards per attempt.
We'll talk more about that with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He joins us to talk football, basketball, baseball too. We'll talk about all that and more coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a chilly day in Auburn, Alabama. We welcome in our guy Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who joins us every Thursday at this time. And Brad, it's one of those unique periods in the season where we have a chance to talk about all three major sports this afternoon, if you're up for it.
Yeah, that's true, with fall ball going on and basketball starting next week officially, an exhibition game tonight, 1 month left in the football regular season. This is great. It even feels like it's Halloween for a lot of Auburn. It even feels like it's deeper into the fall than usual. It's just a good time.
I always forget that they have started doing Halloween. Is it just to make that a consistency thing on every Thursday right there at the end of the month? Is that why they do that?
I'm only speculating, but my guess is that you need enough law enforcement with a home football game and all the extra law enforcement that you need just around that procedure on Saturday, that you didn't want to double book that much Friday and Saturday. But that's purely speculation on my part.
Well,
I don't know for sure.
Well, you can tell that we don't have kids because we don't know anything about when trick-or-treat is, other than tomorrow is the actual day of Halloween. So, yes, there's a lot going on other than trick-or-treat tonight in Auburn Opelika. There's football, basketball, and baseball. We're going to hit on all those with you today. And we'll start with the big one. You mentioned it, a home game for Auburn football coming up this weekend inside Jordan-Hare. It's another night game, Brad, another night game at home for Auburn, and there's so many emotions, right? There's so many emotions and feelings going into this game, but at the forefront of it, Auburn's coming off a win and a chance to stack two with Kentucky on Saturday.
No question, and that's, you know, you're just trying to win your next game. You're trying to win your next series. You're trying to win the next play, and I thought Auburn really showed a lot of toughness, and they showed something different against Arkansas. That pick six at the end of the first half could have been a backbreaker, but they went in at halftime. They obviously changed at quarterback, and Ashton Daniels came out. They admittedly were more conservative with their play calling in the second half, but guys executed those conservative calls. Alex McPherson was dynamic, and You know, you outscore an Arkansas team 23-3 in the second half, an Arkansas team that had been averaging over 500 yards a game and been putting up points against ranked SEC teams, and you hold them to three in the second half. I thought it was a really good job of adjusting and not letting what could have been a backbreaker affect the team as they move forward.
You look at this Auburn team, and up front, they are fifth in the country, allowing only 84 rushing yards per game, just right around 2.5 yards per carry. You look at Kentucky, and after making the quarterback change, going to Cutter Bowley, it's a team that loves putting the ball in the air. I mean, 35 attempts, 39 attempts, and 41 attempts. If you go back and look at Cutter Bowley's last three starts, completing 66.5% of his passes for 7.5 yards, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, but 3 of those are on the road. You mentioned the secondary last week. What do you want to see from them inside Jordan-Hare on Saturday?
Well, one kind of links to the next, Christian, and that is stopping the run forces teams to throw the ball more. It takes the run out of the playbook. I thought Arkansas in the fourth quarter, even when it had the lead still, was calling plays like it was trailing because it couldn't run the ball. And that, you know, that at that point, the secondary smells of proverbial blood in the water. And if you do the same thing, it's Kentucky. Now, look, Bowley's had a lot of pass attempts, but they've trailed. So they've been playing from behind, and most of the time from a couple of scores behind. So you're not going to try to run the ball. I'm really interested to see their first quarter offensive plan Saturday to see if they try. Mark Stoops got a big offensive line, man. Those guys are 6'6 and 325, 330. And, you know, they can move some guys around. Do they try to run the ball in the first quarter, and does Auburn take that away? To finally get to answer your question, if Auburn is again able to do what it's done against almost everybody else, and that is shut down the run game, I like this secondary. I like the depth. I like the way they're rotating guys. You know, we haven't talked very much about Kinsley Ledoux-Fausten. We didn't talk about him much in the offseason or this season. He got some playing time as a true freshman last year, pressed into duty, and you're seeing some maturity. You're seeing steps forward. You're seeing 5 guys rotate at the corner spots, and they're winning because of that, because now they're fresh in the fourth quarter. I think that's one of the big storylines as you zoom out from the Kentucky game and look to the month of November as a whole, and this defense being fresh, improving, as much a strength as they have been, I think they become an even enhanced strength in November.
Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network is with us here on ESPN 106.7, our weekly guest on Thursday afternoons. And lots of discussion around the fan base and media this week, Brad, about who starts at quarterback this weekend for Auburn. Is it Jackson Arnold, Ashton Daniels, or someone else? And Freeze has been pretty consistent in his wording of, we're going to let practice determine it, we're going to have a competition, and we'll see on Saturday night. Regardless of who it is, Brad, what does that position have to do better in order for Auburn to continue to win games? You talked about the play calling and things in the second half from a week ago, but what does the quarterback position, again, regardless of who it is, what do they have to do this Saturday on the road at Vanderbilt, Iron Bowl coming up as well? What does that position have to do?
I think to oversimplify it, Jacob, it's just execute and do it in a timely way. If it's Jackson, it's going to be, you know, can you make the decisions faster and make the right decisions? There was no reason to throw the ball at first and goal, which led to the pick six. Auburn had run 6 consecutive plays. They were moving the line of scrimmage. Even if the play call has a P in it and an O, you should still stick to the R instead of owing to the P. And so making decisions in a timely manner. And then if it's Ashton, obviously, then we'll see more of the playbook than we saw against Arkansas. Ultra conservative. Alex McPherson was in the zone. You had momentum. They ran, what, after the big long pass play, Arkansas didn't run another play on the other side of the 50-yard line. So, you know, you were taking your points and taking the running game. That's what I think you're looking for out of these quarterbacks, is just make the right decision and do it in a timely manner.
We're not wishing away football season quite yet as we're talking with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, but basketball is going to be here, as you mentioned, before we know it, and even more so an exhibition tonight in State Farm Arena where Auburn has had a whole lot of fun playing inside that gym and on those rims. Auburn and Missouri, the 7:30 tip here coming up in just about 5 hours. What do you want to see from this Stephen Pearl team? Again, after the battle in Batwell against Oklahoma State, a couple secret scrimmages in there as well. You're hearing all of the accolades continue to pour in for this Auburn team, currently sitting as a sixth seed in ESPN bracketology. What do you want to see from this team before we get underway in the regular season?
I want to see us do away with bracketology before anybody's ever played a game. Who in their right mind would think that any team is worthy of a 6 or a 4 or a 2 or an 8 or...
Even better, Brad, they have Auburn listed in KenPom as like 88th in tempo, and I can promise that is not going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, and I love KenPom. I love these objective metrics. I wish we'd go to that instead of polls and things of that nature. But, yeah, I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to seeing how this team responds defensively. You know, October 15th was that first exhibition game. That's the earliest we've ever seen a basketball exhibition. It's the most recent time after starting fall practice that you have seen a team ever in action. So, you know, what's their defensive development been like in the last 2+ weeks? Very curious to find that out. And then I want to see what Tahad does offensively. He was 4 of 16 shooting against Oklahoma State. I don't know how many he's going to have. You count on one hand probably the number of games that he'll have this year shooting 25% from the floor. So eager to see what his shooting numbers look like tonight. And I have full confidence in the offense being able to put up points, but how well can you rebound? Can you block any shots? Can you recover defensively? You know, how do you defend the lane? Post defense is the thing that I think is number one on the intrigue list going into the opener Monday against Bethune-Cookman.
And you do have that opener Monday, Auburn again playing on Thursday next week as well. Hard to believe that the regular season is here. We've got women's basketball starting next week as well with a new head coach and Larry Vickers. I mean, the basketball season, it's not coming up, Brad. It's here.
It is. No, Jacob, you're right. And that's Monday's going to be a loaded day. So Monday here on ESPN 106.7, you've got women's basketball at Charlotte at, I think, 4:30 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then over on Wings 94.3, we've got Tiger Talk at 6, basketball at 7. So we're sort of using Tiger Talk as a quasi pregame show for basketball from the arena. So as soon as Tiger Talk ends, bam, right into tip-off. And then, as you mentioned, 2 games next week, 2 games a week after that. We're off and running. We're going to get a lot of answers to questions quickly for this team.
With football going on, basketball starting next week, Auburn baseball has been active as well with fall ball getting going, and they had the banana ball game going on last week. I think that was last Saturday that took place at Plainsman Park, and the images and videos and things from that seem to be incredible. But at least officially on the schedule, Butch Thompson and his Tigers will take on Kennesaw State on Saturday, November 8th. That's a week from this Saturday. What do you take out of fall ball, Brad? I'm sure you dive deep into that and see what the Tigers have going on, especially with a bunch of new players on that roster.
Yeah, like no team is making reservations for Omaha based on what they see in fall ball. But last year when Auburn played down in Pensacola and Chris Rembert just went on a tear, you could very quickly say, oh, well, he's one of the guys that looks like he should be able to contribute in a big way. He's ready for the moment. Playing other competition is different from facing your own guys day in and day out. Kennesaw State is a reputable program. It's a quality program. Those kids are going to be excited. These guys are going to be excited about playing the game on both sides. They're going to be excited about playing this game. So, you know, you can take away, you know, Chase Frelich looks different. He looks more advanced than he did in his freshman season. And Bub Terrell and Chris Rembert the same. And they're more of your leaders on this team this year. After big-time freshman seasons, now they're taking on more leadership roles. You start to see that play out, and it's good to see it against different teams.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us every Thursday at 2:30 here on ESPN 106.7. We've talked about a lot of it. There's a ton going on over the next 7 days between now and the next time we talk to you. So the floor is yours, my friend. Plug it all. Tell the people what they need to know.
All right. We already set the table for Monday, so we'll focus on Saturday here. 3:30. If you want to get your phone calls in, by the way, Wings 94.3 at 1:30. With the show there, and then at 3:30, the Tiger Tailgate Show, we have Nick Kleinert and Jackson Coibin coming to the show Saturday. That's going to be fun as we talk a little golf.
Yeah,
we have former Tigers Jamel Dean and Tim Duckworth coming on, so we get a little defensive back and a little offensive line perspective. And Will Hastings will be our guest picker for our game picks. So we look forward to hearing what Will has to say and catching up with him a little bit. Full crew, Andy, Ronnie, Jason. It's going to be a good time Saturday, starting at 3:30 on the Tiger Tailgate Show. Kickoff 6:40.
That's over on Wings 94.3. Brad, we appreciate your time as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday when crossover season officially hits.
Yeah, guys, you got it. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us every Thursday, 2:30, here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break in hour number one, come back, wrap it up. We've got a few things to go over as we will talk a little bit more baseball as the World Series down to one more possible game. Game 6 between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about a historic Game 5 last night and wrap up the first hour of the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He joins us every Thursday at 2:30, and we got to talk all three sports, huh? Football, basketball, baseball going on a little bit for Auburn as well. So one of the busiest times of the year, so we appreciate him taking the time. And Auburn men's basketball in an exhibition tonight. We'll talk more about that coming up in hour number two. They take on Memphis tonight. That game not on TV, not on radio, but you can stream it via War Eagle Plus with a subscription that way. So if you want to look into that, you are more than welcome to do so. But before we talk about the World Series, because Game 5 was last night, and hopefully you caught that here on ESPN 106.7, we're going to be live tomorrow on location. We'll On the Line and the Drive, right, Christian? We're going to be out of the studio and in Rally House tomorrow.
Yeah, Rally House. Again, Friday, October 31st. ESPN will be live on location in Rally House in Tigertown. Again, both On the Line and the Drive will be live from 2 to 6 p.m. Previewing everything. Auburn, Kentucky will be recapping the Auburn exhibition against Memphis, looking towards the regular season in there. All of that coming up here with our friends over at Rally House. Rally House is teaming up with Logo Brands to show off all of their amazing Auburn Tigers gear. We will be giving away $50 gift cards to lucky fans in store, so be sure to stop by, come tell us hey, come be a part of the show. We're going to love being out there, so come again, rally with us this Friday as ESPN 106.7 will be broadcasting live On the Line and the Drive on location at Rally House in Tigertown.
Yep, so we're looking forward to that. Come on out, get yourself a shirt or a hat or buy us something if you want to. Not saying you have to, but it would be appreciated. No, I'm kidding. We don't ask for things.
We demand.
True. No, come on out, check it out. They have a huge selection in there next to the World Market there in Tigertown, the old Party City. Yeah. You can't miss it, so come in. They've got some pro gear in there too. I think they got some Brave stuff in
there.
Got some
Braves and Falcon stuff in there.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a new shirt or, you know, treat yourself, tomorrow is the 31st. Saturday's payday, so you may as well come in and spend some of that hard-earned cash on a t-shirt or something.
Exactly.
So come check us out, Rally House, tomorrow in Tigertown. We'll be there from 2 to 6 p.m. giving away $50 gift cards to a few lucky winners. So going to have a lot of fun tomorrow.
They were all in there for Image One merchandise a couple weeks ago, so they know where it is.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. So last night, Game 5 of the World Series between the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. And I think most people who were casual baseball fans who have been tuning into the World Series are realizing just how good the Blue Jays actually are at just playing baseball, not just hitting home runs or having star-studded dudes on the bump. They've got a lot of really good players, and one of their better ones has been injured the entire time or got injured early in the series. they're really good at baseball.
Yeah, you're talking Bo Bichette? Or who's...
For the Blue Jays?
Yeah.
I was talking Springer.
Oh, okay. Bichette's been injured all the postseason,
yeah.
Which makes it even more impressive.
Right.
Springer alone in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the fact that they lost the way they did in 18 innings in game three. Is that game three?
Yeah.
And then bounced back to win game four and then commanded game five last night. This game was over within the first two batters. Literally. History was made last night, Christian.
Yeah, first three pitches of the game. Schneider went deep on the very first pitch, and Vladdy went deep on an 0-1 pitch. And before you could even blink, Blake Snell was down 2-0.
And that's all it took. Dodgers cannot come back. They lose this game. They fall to the Blue Jays 6-1. And not only was it historic for the Blue Jays hitting in their first two batters of the ball game, but the Blue Jays are showing they've got some dudes who can throw it in there, too. I mean, what a dominating performance this was last night for Toronto in terms of their pitching game, too.
Yeah, I mean, Treya Savage went 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, 12 Ks. Before the World Series had 6 total starts in Major League Baseball. 6. And now has 2 in the postseason. Got hit around a little bit in Game 1, went 4 innings, 4 hits, 2 earns. To earn 3 walks, but did still have 5 Ks, and again, it still went 4 innings. But continuing to prove why I think he's going to be very happy with his paychecks come the end of this year, possibly in the next couple of years.
I mean, 12 strikeouts in a World Series game on the road against the powerful Los Angeles Dodgers. And you really want to feel bad about yourself? That dude is 22 years old. 22 years old. He was born in July of 2003. He can just now celebrate a performance like that by having a beer. Think about that. The guy's been able to legally drink for less than 4 months, and he's out there shutting down the Dodgers and putting his team in a position to win. Blue Jays up 3-2. Heading home, back to Toronto. Today's a travel day, game 6 tomorrow night. You can catch that right here on ESPN 106.7. Does Toronto get it done? They have a chance to do it at home, and you got two. You could not ask to be in a better situation. And the 2-3-2 setup, right, 2 in Toronto, 3 in L.A., and now 2 back in Toronto, you couldn't ask for a better spot to be in. You've got 2 chances to win 1 game, and both of them are in your home building. Like,
place is going to be absolutely electric, but you know it's going 7. You know it has to. There's no reason that it won't.
No way that Major League Baseball wants it to go 7 innings.
No, because thankfully the NFL and the NBA are getting caught betting. The MLB has never done anything like that to get in trouble with any sort of gambling in the history of the sport. I will say that it goes 7. You know why? Because Yamamoto takes the mound for the Dodgers.
Yeah, Gausman going for Toronto, Yamamoto going for the Dodgers on Friday. So we'll have that broadcast for you tomorrow night here on ESPN 106.7. We've been told the drinking age is 19 in Canada, so there you go. Maybe that's why he got drafted there. He said, hey, take me.
Please.
Please. I beg you. Game 6 tomorrow with the World Series here on ESPN 106.7. Stick around. We're talking basketball and football coming up in hour number 2.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Thursday afternoon, second to last day of October. Can you believe it? Tomorrow is Halloween, which I don't really celebrate. And then Saturday's the first day of November. Wild to think about as we are barreling down the last several weeks of the college football regular season. Also means that college basketball is back. And I don't know why. I can't figure it out. But it has snuck up on me big time. I mean, we have college basketball Monday. Monday is the official start of college basketball. And it just feels like we haven't talked about it all that much. And it's just like, all right, boom. There it is.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe with Auburn changing head coaches, I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. But even other teams that I cover and things, it's just like, surprise, college basketball season's here. So
you feel like there's never the same type of offseason for basketball as there is football. Now, last year it was more of the fact of, please, basketball, just hurry up. Hurry up and get here.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the way that you feel now, which we're not putting too much blame on, but there's so much to talk about every single day when it comes to Auburn football, because it feels like there's something new every single day to where, yeah, I mean, we didn't even really highlight SEC Media Days for basketball just because it was,
yeah.
They walked in, said what they needed to say, and then got out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, how wild is it to think that, yeah, it's the second exhibition tonight, and you are a couple of days from tip-off in Neville Arena.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that to start hour number two. But if you missed any of the first hour, we talked to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network about all things Auburn athletics, football, basketball, baseball. Also had a chance to talk some college football, had a couple of callers in there, and kind of went in a little bit more on Auburn, Kentucky this weekend, and what's at stake and what Auburn should do and things like that. So also talked a little World Series in there as the Blue Jays take game five, take a decisive game series lead, that is, 3-2 over the Los Angeles Dodgers. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, check it out in the podcast center on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Yeah, and here in hour number two, you mentioned it, we're talking a little bit about Auburn basketball and their preseason exhibition against Memphis coming up tonight. A little bit more on the generic side of things. Again, we made some jokes, but it's worth noting the ESPN bracketology for Auburn, currently a 6 seed right now. Where do they match up with other teams in the SEC? Who are the favorites right now? A couple teams out in the SEC, but still expected to be a very locked down and loaded conference once again. We're then going to talk a little bit about the SEC basketball odds just to make the tournament to win the SEC championship and just the overall national championship odds before we take a quick look around the SEC slates in terms of football here this weekend. Not something of an overwhelming slate. We've talked a whole lot about it over the past couple of months and I guess the weeks of going back and looking at, man, this week doesn't look overly incredible, but there's so many games that end up being really, really nice. And you go back on Monday and Tuesday and you're able to talk about it as we were able to do here once again this week. We'll talk a little bit more about the games that are coming up this weekend before we get with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Going to get his thoughts and all of the world news in the SEC. We'll talk a little bit about Sankey's quotes that he had about the gambling with college kids now being able to bet on professional sports. Get Chris's thoughts on that, as well as, again, his picks and his predictions around coaching hires before we dive into him actually talking about why Auburn is going to beat Kentucky. And what better man to hype us up before the weekend than Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. But all of that here coming up in hour number two.
You should know that he's not going to pick Auburn this weekend. His wife is a Kentucky fan.
Oh.
He's going to pick Kentucky. He has to. He's legally obligated to do so. I don't know. I think I'm not married, but I think that's what I've learned is whatever team she cheers for, you pull for.
Yeah, it's like the alma maters in football or Saban. It's like you're not allowed to go against.
Yeah, you can cheer for whoever you want to, but.
Yeah. Desmond, who do you think is going to win this game? Michigan? Oh, that's crazy. You just think they're the better team.
Michigan's taking on the New England Patriots, and he'll talk for 30 seconds about how good the Patriots are.
But
I'm taking Michigan to win it close. Now, so we'll talk to Chris coming up here in just a little bit. Until then, though, phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Give us your thoughts on what's going on around college football, college basketball, and beyond. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067.
And that is where we begin our number two. Talking a little bit, Brad made the joke about bracketology being funny, and we've made the jokes about it again, being relatively pointless, but always nice to just be able to mention it from time to time. 11 teams in the SEC right now, according to Joe Lunardi with his 2026 preseason bracketology, the final one before weekly updates on November 11th. 11 teams in the SEC are slated to make the tournament, as well as 11 from the Big Ten, 8 from the Big 12, 5 from the ACC, 5 from the Big East, 2 from the Mountain West, and 2 from the WCC in there as well. The top seed switched a little bit, went from Purdue back to Houston, so you imagine those two are definitely the favorites based off of wherever you look right now. Houston is projected to be a one seed, Duke projected to be a one seed, Purdue, and Florida, the other one seed, the lone SEC favorites here, according to Joe Lunardi.
Well, I think the big question that everybody has going into the 25-26 college basketball season, at least in the Southeastern Conference, is can they be anywhere near as good as they were a year ago? Just to remind people who have maybe turned their brains off from basketball, let's knock the cobwebs off a little bit here. The SEC, of the 16 teams that are in the conference, 14 of them went dancing last year. 14 went to the NCAA tournament out of the SEC. Only South Carolina and LSU were the two that did not go. Can the SEC do that again this year? Probably not. I mean, that's remarkable to think about that the SEC had 14 of the technical 68 teams that made it. You had 20% of the field from one conference. I don't think you can do that again. I think the SEC is going to be very good. But I think when you start comparing the tops of these conferences, we're having this conversation with football right now, right? With the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12. I think it will be a very similar conversation in terms of college basketball, but some of those roles will be reversed. The SEC may be similar, though. I don't think the conference, other than Florida, has that just over-the-top dominant team. But there's going to be a lot of really, really good teams out of this league.
Do you put Florida as that most dominant team right now, other than or over Arkansas or over Kentucky?
Yes, but Kentucky will have every chance to make that themselves by the end of the season.
You look at the 11 teams right now, there's also three that are first four outs or next four outs. Oklahoma is accordingly the first team out. Texas A&M is the fourth team out, as well as Indiana and Clemson. And then Georgia is that eighth team out, the last one on the next four out. So 14 names are at least mentioned in the SEC.
I'm not putting a JG guarantee on this, but if I had some Monopoly money to throw on a team to make the NCAA tournament, Texas A&M's going to make the tournament. In case people forgot, Bucky McMillan is their new head coach.
Yeah.
Bucky Ball ain't missing the NCAA tournament at Texas A&M. I just saw a clip of him earlier today talking about his squad in a scrimmage against each other. He said, if we shoot the way we did in this, nobody will touch us this year.
Whew.
So I know it's a scrimmage, and I know it's in practice and things, but he feels pretty good about his team. And I'm telling you, Texas A&M will make the NCAA tournament. And so that would make it, of the projected teams, that would make it 12. If Oklahoma can slide in there, of course, that would be 13. I don't think Georgia's out of the conversation. And Jordan Hill has talked to us about how that team may not be as talented as they were a year ago, but Mike White's still one of the better coaches in this league. And so I think the SEC will still be a deep conference, but I am concerned that the conversation could be the same where the Big Ten has the best two or three teams in the country. The Big 12 could have two or three of the best teams in the country. It's got to happen this year for Purdue. Has to happen for Purdue. If it doesn't, get the guy out of there. I think I made this comparison a few weeks ago when we first started bringing up the college basketball season. Purdue with Matt Painter is Penn State with James Franklin. They have everything.
Especially bringing back Braden Smith.
Who might be the best player in college basketball.
Yeah.
Like, this has to happen for them this year. And if it doesn't, then you probably move on, because that's what Purdue's built on, is college basketball. And they've gotten close. They just can't win it with him.
How interesting could it be that last year it was Missouri, that team that Auburn talked a lot about and we talked a lot about of, I'm so glad we saw them early. I'm glad before
second
they figured themselves out.
Second game of conference play, right? Or first game of conference play?
I think it was first or second. You play A&M at home, the second conference game of the year. How nice could that be to get that game, not only at home, but just get that out of the way before that team really finds their footing? You look at, again, the 68-team bracket, and not spending too much time on the actual competition or who they're playing, but Missouri is an 8 seed in the South region of Houston. They're taking on Chad Baker Mazzara and USC, according right now, the 8-9. You have Alabama as a 4 seed to take on Utah Valley. Tennessee as a 3 seed, and then Mississippi State as a 10 seed. And so you're going to see three, if not four, teams in every single quarter of the bracket just because of how good the SEC is. Again, in this first four, or in the first 16 in the South region, it's Missouri, Alabama, Tennessee, and Mississippi State.
Kentucky scares the crap out of me, man. They really do. You start looking at that roster, and I believe Kentucky beat Purdue in an exhibition game last week.
They did, yes.
Which... Hey-o.
And Duke also beat Tennessee in a sold-out Thompson Bowling Arena.
Yes, they did.
With Cameron Boozer going like 27, 20 rebounds and 6 assists.
Dude, look at the freshmen that are going to be in college basketball this year. You're going to have...
Look at just the underclassmen in general. Yes, the freshmen, but even the freshmen and sophomores
AJ
wild.
Dibonsta out at BYU. You've got... I'm looking just at freshmen. Darren Peterson at Kansas. He's considered a top 10 player in the country. You have Cameron Boozer at Duke. You have... Where'd he go? Tahad as a sophomore, sure. Nate Amint at Tennessee as a freshman. I mean, just some really, really good players are young bucks this year. Mykael Brown Jr., the point guard up at Louisville, he was a highly rated recruit. Caleb Wilson, the freshman who's going to be at North Carolina. I mean, young guys are going to run this thing. You've got some old dudes in there, right? You've still got the Braden Smiths of the world and the Milos Uzons of the world out of Houston. But, man, it's hard for me to sit here as we are about to tip off the college basketball season and figure out which teams are truly at the top, which conference will be the over-dominating one. I think the Big 12 is going to have some serious competition in it. The Big 10 is going to have some competition. I would like to see the ACC get back to being legit top to bottom, right, with Duke, North Carolina. I think Louisville's going to be good this year. You've got some of those teams like Clemson and Syracuse and others who float around in there, but that's a conference that I think needs to find its footing a little bit.
Looking at the West region, you have Texas as an 8 seed. You have Kentucky as a 2 seed. Those are the only two from the SEC in that corner of the bracket. You then have the Chicago, the Midwest region with Purdue. You have Ole Miss slated as a 9, Arkansas as a 5, and are those the only two in there as well? They are. Holy cow. So then you look at Washington, D.C. Florida's the 1 seed. Vanderbilt's the 9 seed. You then have, I swear I saw one that had a little bit more. Maybe not. But Auburn, slated right now as a 6 seed. And how ironically, taking on the Memphis Tigers if it stood right now. So a preseason test, and right now projected to be a postseason test as well.
Had someone text us in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067 saying Louisville, Kentucky should be crazy good this year, and that is so true. That game will be cinema, man.
Who did Louisville play in their exhibition? I saw that it got a little heated.
Oh, I must have missed that. I don't know. I must have missed that. But while you're looking that up, again, I think Louisville is a team that is being slept on. I think people have forgotten about them because they have been bad for so long. For an historic basketball program, they just have not figured it out. But Pat Kelsey is the dude. I mean, Pat Kelsey is legit. Again, Mychal Brown Jr. is one of the best point guards in the class of 2025. He's going to be leading them as a freshman this year. Louisville's got some talent down there, man.
It was Kansas in their preseason game.
Oh, I missed that.
In the KFC Yum Center in Louisville.
Ah, that's downtown Louisville.
It is. Yeah. It is. But Kansas beat them 90-82.
Wow, that's a good Kansas team, though. Yeah, he says that Louisville and Kentucky, he just responded, said Louisville played Kansas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Louisville, Kentucky, that game should be awesome this year. It has not been in the past, and if I'm not mistaken, they play early this season. They do. They play November 11th, does Louisville and Kentucky. The Cards and the Cats, that game is at the KFC Yum Center. That's about 3 or 4 weeks earlier than they normally play because growing up north, I lived in Northern Kentucky
for
quite some time.
The holiday Hoopsgiving.
Well, it was always right around like the week before Christmas was
right.
When it always was right around that.
Is that not when that Hoopsgiving, it's between Thanksgiving and Christmas that week between that and December?
Well, Hoopsgiving's the event in Atlanta that Auburn's
right,
part
but
of.
It used to be like the Sonic Blockbuster. Like it used to have like its own little
maybe
week.
Are you thinking of Feast Week around Thanksgiving?
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, you have Feast Week, which is a ton of college basketball around Thanksgiving. Auburn will be a part of that when they go out to Las Vegas. But, no, I just remember growing up that Louisville versus Kentucky in basketball was always that it always felt like a Saturday, like December 15th or something like that. But they play the third game of the year. When Kentucky goes to Louisville, as of right now, if you want to base this off a way too early top 25, that's a top 15 game in the third game of the season. So that one will be awesome. He also asks us, I need a way too early dark horse to win the national championship.
Ooh.
And he's picking Texas Tech, which is not bad. It's not a bad guess.
That's not bad.
Not a bad pick.
At all.
A dark horse. So I think our own rules here, I know we got to get to break. Own rules here, we'll say they cannot, and we'll just go off of Lenardi's bracketology. They cannot be a 3 seed or higher. They cannot be a 1, 2, or 3 seed.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I got to go find who it is then. Dang it. Okay,
they cannot be, for a dark horse, they cannot be a 1, 2, or 3 seed. And Texas Tech's a 4, so his pick would apply in our...
My first answer was Michigan, but they're a 2 seed.
Bad answer. Gosh, I don't know. A dark horse to win it. And again, according to Lenardi's bracketology, I'm saying they cannot be a 1, 2, or 3. I don't know. Arizona's not a bad pick at the 4. Kansas at the 6 is not bad. God, Louisville is a 3 seed. That's crazy. That's insane. I mean, am I going to be vanilla?
NC State, give me Will Wade. No, I'm just kidding.
Am I going to be vanilla and just say Kansas because they're not a top 3 seed? I think
it's
not
so. A bad one.
I think I'll go with Kansas. Yeah. I'll go Kansas. That's my answer.
Oh, man.
You think about it, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
Fair.
Because we do have some more basketball to talk about. And more specifics with Auburn as well, because Tahat Pettiford is on pretty much every preseason list you can think of. We'll talk about that. We'll get Christian's answer since he needs 4 extra minutes to think about it. So we'll talk about that when we come back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We've got a few more minutes before our bottom of the hour break, where we'll bring in Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He'll join us, and we'll talk about some of the coaching changes going on around the SEC and college football. Also get his picks for what is a little bit of a lesser slate this weekend across the country. But, Kristen, you had a few extra minutes. You've done some extra research. Who is your dark horse to win?
Didn't help at all.
Wow. Okay. Well, your dark horse to win.
I'll say it. I'll say that my very first answer that I halfway joked about, but why not?
Your dark horse to win the college basketball national title, if we're looking at Joe Lunardi's current bracketology going into the season, the self-made rule that I came up with on the fly was they cannot be a 1, 2, or 3 seed. I said Kansas or Arizona. Your answer is?
Simply because it was the first one that I gave. Give me Will Wade. Give me NC State.
Going with NC bringing State, huh?
Bringing back or bringing in Darion Williams. Baller. He's going to lead them.
Yeah, baller. NC State, an 8 seed right now in bracketology. All right.
Why not?
Why not?
Actually, the University of Alabama as the 4 seed. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
Illinois right there. Iowa State was another option, but for the conversational standpoint, I will say Will Wade in NC State.
Okay. It's not a bad guess. I mean,
in a weak ACC, sure.
That's only projected to get 5 bids. Yeah. Only 5 bids, man. The Big Ten is going to be stacked. I'm just thinking of a team like Ohio State that I think they were a year away last year with a bunch of their transfers. I think Ohio State's going to be good. UCLA,
Michigan State will be good.
I think Michigan State will be good, too. They've got a lot of talent there. And, I mean, it's hard to bet against the Spartans. So, UCLA is going to be solid out there. USC is going to be solid. Remember, what's-his-face is still coaching out there. I can see it. Don't tell me. Musselman is still coaching out there. You start looking at some of the new coaches around college basketball. It's pretty wild stuff, man.
Gosh, looking at this UCLA team, and it was like a...
Oh, they're stacked.
I feel like I don't know too much about them, and then you go back and you look at guys like Scott Clark, and you're like, okay, yeah.
Yep, there it is. And then Michigan's going to be awesome. Dusty May's going to be there for a long time. And, I mean, even look at the Big 12. Cincinnati, Iowa State, BYU. Like, some nasty teams in college basketball this year. Will it be as good as it was last year?
College basketball or the SEC?
College basketball. I mean, I think we several times had already bookmarked it as the greatest season of all time.
Yeah, I mean, if you're comparing it to last season, maybe not, because you feel like the sequel is never as good, even if it's just the high quality because of its comparison. But when you're talking about a standard, I think that it's not going to drop. I don't think that it's going to, I don't think college basketball is going anywhere, especially now because you can have guards and players that, you know, play pro ball for 6 years before they go play college basketball.
We haven't even had a chance to talk about that.
Yeah. Auburn's in the discussion for one of them.
My initial thought was that I hate it. Did you see Nick Saban had a quote about that today?
Yeah.
A great quote, too. A great quote. We're going to have to find time to talk about that. Maybe when the season starts next week. In case you don't know what we're referencing, there are G League players. Yes, NBA G League players who are now stepping backwards to play college basketball, and it's allowed. Like, it's happening. One's already been approved, and another one's on the way. It's wild, man. Guys that have made legitimate paychecks playing semi-pro basketball are now coming back to play college.
Nick Saban said it's crazy. Why not make these kids professionals, treat them like professionals, and collective bargain the whole dang thing?
Do you think he listens to On the Line?
Maybe
on ESPN 106.7? Sounds like it. I think that's where he got that from. We'll see what Chris Gordy thinks about that. College football coaching changes and a whole lot more. The host of the Locked On SEC podcast joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And our one of our longest standing guests here on the show with us every single Thursday, almost never misses a show, even when there's drama going on in the home state of Louisiana. Chris Cordy of Locked On SEC is with us on the phone lines now. Are you making calls to the governor's office and putting your two cents in on what should happen at LSU, my man?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to apply for the athletic director job if that's open. So, yeah, it's just a total cluster. I mean, my buddies in Louisiana were texting me all day, and, you know, the athletic headline came out today and said, I mean, LSU is the most sought-after job and clearly number one on the list, and then the governor of the state opened his mouth. I mean, I don't understand why he's interfering here. I don't understand why he needs to be involved. Louisiana is near the bottom in a lot of different categories across the country. Maybe worry about that stuff before you worry about the LSU coaching search. But here we are.
I mean, who needs like roads and education, healthcare? You know, who needs that when there's a vacancy to be the next head coach of the LSU football Tigers? Come on, Chris.
Well, I mean, look, it is a weird thing because it is a state university, and you know, in a lot of different states, the head football coach of that university is, in a lot of cases, the highest paid state employee. So I get the intersection of government and all this, but I also think it's a little bit disingenuous for him to be saying, yeah, the taxpayers are paying these buyouts. No taxpayers paying for a buyout. It's private donors. It's big time boosters. It's all, you know, it's all those people that are paying the high dollar. That's the whole reason they pulled the trigger on Brian Kelly, was because they got a guarantee that, hey, one big booster is going to pay a good majority of this buyout. So a little disingenuous, but I'll say this. The talk with somebody in the know said that Jeff Landry fancies himself kind of the next Huey Long / Donald Trump, very outspoken. And that's why he's doing every interview under God's green earth, sun, whatever today, because he just wants to hear himself talk. So hopefully those folks on the LSU Board of Supervisors that all seem to be way more intelligent and capable, those people will make the right decision, and hopefully not the governor.
Well, of course, we're talking about the entire situation at LSU football. Brian Kelly gets let go, fired, parted ways, I don't really know, and still trying to figure out what the buyout is there. Governor comes out and says the AD's not going to make the hire, the board of directors is going to do it, and apparently he called for the AD's job. I mean, it is a cluster right now at LSU, but Chris, how did we get here with Brian Kelly no longer being the head coach of LSU football? And then the follow-up to that, of course, is who's going to be next?
Yeah, I think the reality is the failure to live up. Like, everything from the day he was hired was kind of understood that it was going to be a build-up. That, okay, look, you're taking over for Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron kind of parked his car into the ditch. It was going to take a little bit of time to pull it out. I mean, I had to go back and look. It was crazy to remember. I mean, COVID year, LSU, this is off the national championship game. After they had won, you know, the greatest national championship ever with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and all these guys, and they go a perfect 15-0. Ed Orgeron at that point in his career was 40-9 as LSU head coach. I mean, we're talking elite category. All he does is proceeds to go, well, I won my championship. I don't need to do anything else. We'll just tank this program. They go 5-5 in the COVID year. They go 6-6 the year after, and absolutely bottom this program out. I mean, LSU hadn't gone 6-6 since prior to Les Miles and Nick Saban. So ran into a ditch. Brian Kelly came in. He pulled him out of the ditch. And the expectation was within 4 years, he might be able to accomplish what those other coaches did. And I'm talking Nick Saban, Les Miles, and Ed Orgeron, all by year four as head coach at LSU, got to and won a national championship. Now, coming into the season, the expectation was not, hey, Brian Kelly, you better win the national championship. In fact, the fans lowered the standard. They said, you know what? We'll take 10-2 in a playoff appearance. Not even you got to win a playoff game, a playoff appearance. And with the new 12-team playoff, it seemed very achievable. And so they went out and bought this number one portal class, spent $17 million to bring it in. And Brian Kelly brings back his fifth-year senior quarterback and Garrett Nussmeier, threw for 4,000 yards last year. All the ingredients were there. LSU was ready to go. They beat Clemson in the opener. He finally won an opener. Everything was set up. And then the coaching failed. the offensive coordinator decided to be, you know, forget how to coach football. Defensive coordinator forgot to tell guys how to tackle. And, you know, LSU loses a close game at Ole Miss. Okay, fine. They lose a tight game against Vanderbilt on the road. Okay, fine. But then you come home and you get blown out at home in a game against top three A&M, who you had a lead on at halftime and then absolutely quit in the second half. That was kind of the last straw. You know, again, everybody kind of thought by this year this was going to be the year. And look, if this had been a transition year, right, had they lost a ton of guys from last year's team and all this, and, you know, it was a rebuilding year, I think LSU fans would have understood. But that wasn't the expectation that everybody had. And even Brian Kelly said, after the bowl game last year, said, hey, keep those receipts. We're coming for a championship. He set those expectations. So he massively underachieved. I disagree with some people who said Brian Kelly sucks. I don't think he sucks. I mean, the guy won 10 games, 10 wins. I mean, you know, it was good. I mean, Auburn would crawl on glass to have that kind of 3-year run that Brian Kelly just had.
We appreciate that.
But on the flip side, that was not the expectation. The expectation was you're going to come in here and not win a championship in year one. That's Bama expectations, right? That's Kalen DeBoer expectations. But for Brian Kelly, it was within 4 to 5 years you have this program playing for a championship, and it was like they went backwards. He came in year one, hit the ground running, won the SEC West, beat Alabama. Everybody's going, wow, awesome. Year two, he has a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Jaden Daniels. Everybody's on board. And then this thing went backwards the last 2 years with just atrocious losses, and that's why he is unemployed now.
Chris Gordy letting the Auburn fans know about bottoming out a program. I promise we're right in that same boat of understanding. Auburn hasn't gone 6-6 in forever either, and so we are in that same boat as well. But wanted to get your thoughts on, again, the bye week and then Alabama. How much does the bye week play a factor in kind of getting this team revamped versus how much, like what you were talking about, for this upcoming year, if this is not that roster rebuild, right? You're not having a bunch of underclassmen come up and have to overperform. However, next year could be the case. So did LSU just see that as in Brian Kelly of he is not the guy to lead us through a rebuild?
Well, it was going to be tough, right? I mean, they went to every donor out there and said, we need money for this portal class. Every LSU fan did their part and wrote the check and did everything they needed to do to get them loaded in. And they failed. So can you imagine going back to those same donors this offseason going, hey, guys, we need more money to get a top portal class again? The LSU fans weren't going to do it because you got to show some signs of what am I investing in? And it was, you know, on the surface appearing to be a bad investment. So that's where this thing went sideways. But, you know, you mentioned going to the interim now. Look, there is a weird thing happening across the country with interim coaches. When you fire the head coach, it wakes everybody else on that staff up and says, oh, my God, I'm out of a job after this year. Like, it's basically like you got your 6 weeks notice. It's time to go show up and show out because this is a job audition for my next job, right? So what we've seen across the country, look at UCLA. They fired fired their head coach. Suddenly they beat Penn State, you know. Look at UAB. They get rid of Trent Dilfer. A week or two later, they upset Memphis. So it's almost like some of these schools, you get a reinvigorated coaching staff and reinvigorated performance. And that's where I look at LSU. I kind of wish that, you know, in a perfect world that they were playing somebody worse than Alabama. But that said, I think you're going to get a pretty good effort from LSU because look at the roster. They're not lacking for talent. Publicly, they've not had any opt-outs yet. Nobody said, oh, I'm done for the season. I'm out. So, and what's been their biggest problem? They haven't run the football enough. Well, Frank Wilson, their new interim coach, is the running backs coach. He said the other day, we're going to run the football. So it'll be very interesting to see how they perform against Alabama. I think you're going to get an inspired effort, and we'll see if it's good enough to hang with Alabama in Tuscaloosa. But, my first thought was everything that Joe Sloan and Brian Kelly were doing wrong, it's now for those other coaches to go, hey, you're in charge now. The handcuffs are off. Do whatever the hell you want. I think you could actually see some good football play.
Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, with us here on ESPN 106.7. Now with Brian Kelly gone, Billy Napier's gone, Sam Pittman is gone. Three SEC coaches are out the door. you know my next question. Who's next? Which other SEC teams could or should make that move? I know there's a couple of teams. One's here in town, the other your wife cheers for. So who else do you think the SEC could send out the door coming up this year?
Well, I was going to say, you know who's next. I mean, that's the
We just want to hear you say it, Chris. We just want you to have the opportunity to say it on our airwaves.
Well, I thought it was going to happen this past weekend, and then you go and beat Arkansas. So, you know, you're kind of delaying the inevitable here. But, you know, I've had somebody tell me that they think, based on Auburn's remaining schedule, that there's a chance they keep winning here. And so, I mean, look, if they lose to Kentucky on Saturday, I think he's out by Monday morning. But they should beat Kentucky. They're not very good. I've called this game all week. Of all the SEC matchups, I said, you know, for Auburn, Kentucky, this is for the football diehards. Like, this is for, you got to love football to watch this game over some of the other games that are happening this weekend.
Yeah.
So, but nonetheless, look, there were some positives. I liked Ashton Daniels and what he brought to the field. You know, will they stick with him? Will they go back to Jackson Arnold? Will they play both? I don't know. We're going to find out. But we found out what happens when you feed it to your running back, that he's pretty damn good, and maybe you should keep giving him the football. When Jeremiah Cobb ranks top five in the SEC in rushing currently, might be a good idea to keep feeding that guy the football. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I've had a few people tell me they think, you know, that Auburn's going to see this thing out and let him finish out the year regardless of what happens. But we're seeing right now a lot of athletic departments and boosters and board of supervisors very reactionary. If you have an embarrassing loss that they don't agree with, you're out. So Hugh Freeze still hanging on by a thread. We'll see what happens. But the Mark Stoops thing is interesting. I mean, he still has a massive buyout, and it sucks. You know, I've talked to multiple people that say it's all about selling next year. How do you go to your fan base and sell next year? Hey, Mark Stoops is back again. Get those season tickets, you know, orders in. It's a tough sell. And then when it becomes a tough sell, you're losing money. The better move might be to just grin and bear it. Hey, we'll pay the buyout because we're going to make more money with optimism than we will with pessimism.
There's four teams right now, Chris, in the SEC that are projected favorites to make the college football playoff. But there's one right now sitting in number nine, taking their way to Austin, Texas, where Texas is a 3.5-point favorite on Saturday. It's the 11 o'clock ABC kick. Before we dive into the rest of the SEC slate, your thoughts on Vanderbilt and Texas with Diego Pavia and Clark Lee, who are trying to say that they deserve a seat at the table as well.
Yeah, I talked with Peter Burns this morning. We're going to have that on our Locked On SEC show tomorrow. But, you know, Peter's sticking with the Texas pick. He thinks, being back home, that, you know, keep in mind, Texas has not played a game at DKR in over a month. You know, that rivalry game with Oklahoma was played up in Dallas, and all their other games have been on the road. So it's been a month since they've been back home. I kind of wish it was a night game. If it was a night game, I'd be all over Texas. It's an early game. It's 11 a.m. I think it's, you know, those games are always a little bit sleepy. Auburn's played a lot of those games. But Vanderbilt is, look, Diego Pavia, they got by the skin of their teeth last week. They did not play well offensively against Mizzou. And, in fact, if you look at the stats, they should not have won that game. I mean, they were lucky to get that victory. They can't play like that. If they play like that this week, they're going to get beat. The problem is on the Texas side. Arch Manning just finished his best game of the season. That second half against Mississippi State was outstanding. And in overtime, he tucks it and runs it. His head hits the ground. They take him out. Immediately, I said concussion. Matthew Caldwell, the backup, came in and threw the go-ahead touchdown. But he's been in concussion protocol all week. He did return to the practice field yesterday, but I think that's a little gamesmanship. I don't think Arch Manning's going to play in this one. I think it's going to be Matthew Caldwell. And talking to our guys at Locked On, they want to see Caldwell throw for like 300 yards and four touchdowns. They want to see him go off, so that it becomes very awkward if they have to go back to Arch Manning. But I don't know, man. I mean, look, Vanderbilt's this season has played like the better team, but Texas still has a ton of talent, and they still have that thing in the back of their minds. If they run the table, they're in the playoff. So I keep going back and forth on it. I would probably ride with Texas as the home team, saying that they get this done. But I've been all aboard the Vandy train the past few weeks. I've just been so fun to watch. I'll be rooting for Vandy.
And then the other top 25 game in the SEC, Chris, before we let you go, two teams who need a win to keep any sort of playoff hopes alive. The loser is most likely out. Oklahoma on the road at Tennessee, 18th ranked Sooners, 14th ranked Vols. That's the night game in Neyland. Tennessee getting about a field goal here.
Oh, yeah, playoff elimination game for Oklahoma-Tennessee. I like the home team. Tennessee, look, their defense has been putrid. You know, there's some talk that they could get Hood back this week. Jamrod McCord, we're still waiting to see if and when he's even going to return this year. But John Matera, that offense has stunk the last few weeks. I mean, they couldn't do much of anything against Ole Miss. Finally, they broke up a couple long runs. David Robinson kind of got them back into that game. But their defense, as good as it's been all year, I mean, Ole Miss did whatever they wanted to them. And Tennessee is one of the top offenses in the country. And they're at home. I think Tennessee's going to – I think they're going to put up a bunch of points. I think this is maybe a repeat of what we saw last week in the Ole Miss-Oklahoma game. The only difference is OU's on the road. So it might even be a worse showing offensively. So I think Tennessee wins. And I think Josh Heupel's got Tennessee with all the question marks of kicking Nico off the team and all that. Joey Aguilar has answered the call. He's been outstanding. And – they got a chance here to run the table and for the Vols to make the playoffs.
He is the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, Chris Gordy, with us every Thursday here in Auburn, Opelika on ESPN 106.7. Plug it on, my friend. Tell people where they can find you, what you got coming up for another SEC slate on Saturday.
Yeah, Locked On SEC. We're doing daily shows talking about the latest at LSU, that coaching search. Will Lane Kiffin leave? How will that impact the rest of the SEC? Could impact Auburn as well. And hey, I'm looking forward to watching Kentucky versus Auburn on the CW on Saturday night.
Yeah, just make sure your wife knows you're pulling for the Cats and not the Tigers, right?
Yeah, it might actually be SEC Network streaming. I might have to check that. Maybe they put Kentucky. I think Kentucky's exhibition basketball game is going to move to the SEC Network.
Yeah, priorities, right? That's what the SEC office has got to do. Chris, we appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check him out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll come back, wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network in hour number one. Thanks to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, who we just got done talking to here in hour number two. Plus a lot of other great conversations on the show today, talking basketball and the latest bracketology, college football, coaching carousel, all sorts of stuff on today's show. So if you missed it, check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com. A reminder that Auburn men's basketball is in an exhibition game tonight against Memphis. And while it's not on TV, it's not on radio, you can do what we did and sign up for War Eagle Plus and watch Auburn basketball's exhibition game tonight at 7:30. All of the other content on the platform is fantastic as well. So be sure you sign up for that. All the funds go to support Auburn student athletes. Sign up today at auburntigers.com/WarEaglePlus. So you can do that right now. Be sure that way you can check out all their great content, but also watch the men's basketball exhibition game against Memphis tonight at 7:30. So that's on War Eagle Plus. And hey, reminder, tomorrow we are live on location talking Auburn and Kentucky with our friends at Rally House. ESPN 106.7 will be live on location Friday, October 31st at Rally House in Tigertown. Both On the Line and The Drive will be live from 2 to 6 p.m. previewing Auburn football's matchup versus Kentucky with our friends at Rally House. Rally House is teaming up with Logo Brands to show off all of their amazing Auburn Tigers gear. We will be giving away $50 gift cards to lucky fans in-store only, so be sure to stop by and say hello. Come rally with us this Friday. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow, as ESPN 106.7 will be broadcasting live on location at Rally House in Tigertown. So we're looking forward to that. We'll talk the exhibition game. We'll talk Auburn and Kentucky. We'll talk to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. And we'll make our picks for the 10 best games across college football this weekend. So today was loaded. Tomorrow will be too. Christian, you got a little high school football tomorrow we'll talk about as well.
Yeah, Lee Scott and Realtown, the regular season finale. Both of these teams 7-2, trying to get their final tune-up before the playoffs.
Yep, so we'll talk that and a whole lot more tomorrow, 2-4 on ESPN 106.7, live at Rally House in Tigertown. Come hang out with us. We'll be there from 2 to 6 p.m. and having a whole lot of fun with you. That's tomorrow, 2-4, here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.